Welcome back to Eye on Digital Marketing. This is episode 45. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at More Visibility, one word. You can visit our website, morevisibility.com, and sign up for our newsletter where you get great tips from our industry experts. Today, my guest is Chief Operating Officer Danielle Leach. Danielle, welcome back to the podcast. You were just here for episode 43.
Thank you. Yes, it's great to be back, Chuck. Thanks for having me back on.
And a special announcement: for the first time, we are now streaming on 4 platforms. You can find our podcast on Google Podcast, Spotify, Amazon, and Apple Podcasts. So, Danielle, we are growing. Very exciting news for our listeners.
That's awesome. And kudos to you, Chuck. 45 episodes down, and now we're big time streaming too. Content palooza galore.
That's it. Content is king. You can never have too much, as they say. Danielle, before we get into our topic today, you also have another exciting announcement for our South Florida friends, I hear.
Yes, absolutely. So for all of our listeners who are in the South Florida area, we would love to welcome you to Breakfast on the Beach, starring our friends from Google. So as most of you know, we are a Google certified partner in the top 3% of agencies that Google works with on the advertising side, Google Ads, but also a certified partner on the analytics side as well. As a result of that, we've got a team at Google that supports us as well as our clients. And so they will be down joining us for Breakfast on the Beach in Pompano, literally at the Beach House restaurant, which is just north of the Pompano Beach Pier in South Florida. And that will be on Tuesday, October the 11th. So look for the details on all of our social channels, or feel free to reach out to Chuck or I directly for an invite. But would love to see you as we learn more about what's new and next, which will, of course, include all of the recent SEO updates, content, as well as technical SEO, Core Web Vitals, and talk a little bit about what's happening on the Google Ads paid front. And, of course, the topic du jour for 2022, Google Analytics 4, mm-hmm. and the importance of migrating from Universal to GA4. And that will be all of what we will be uncovering, plus much more, I'm sure. Breakfast on the Beach with Google in Pompano, South Florida. And that's Tuesday morning, October the 11th. Hope to see everyone there.
Yes, definitely stop by if you're free. And last time we did that, we were able to have one of our Google reps join us for a podcast, which we're hoping to do again. So a lot of great information, a lot of great content is going to come out of Tuesday, October 11th. Danielle, episode 43, a few episodes ago, you were here and we touched on how to maximize partnerships outside of your business, outside of your agency, no matter what industry you're in, how to work with all of your vendors and get maximum potential and collaboration. This time on episode 45, we want to take it more inside your organization and talk about how to maximize your team and really focus on strengths and weaknesses and knowing your team. So right away, kind of when I hear that, I think there's a lot of overlap into some conversations we've had in the past about the importance of building an agency culture, knowing who's on your team, getting the most out of them. But Danielle, your role does this on a daily basis. You have to not only manage that, you know, every day, but also forward think. So from a high level, can you just start off by telling us what is that importance? What have you seen? What have you felt from understanding the team here at More Visibility? And how are you measuring strengths and weaknesses? And how do you go about that process?
Right. So thank you for that. Building culture, regardless of if you're in an agency or on the brand side, in a company, or even entrepreneurially in a, you know, smaller organization, smaller company, or a nonprofit. Any type of organization from small, medium, large, across any vertical needs culture. And that culture, absolutely, the tone of the culture is set and started from the top, but the culture truthfully is the team. The team makes the culture. Mm-hmm. And so I think there needs to be some groundwork and foundation laid and supported from the executive team, but ultimately it is your team who will make the culture.
Right.
And I think the importance of knowing your team's strengths and weaknesses is an interesting question, because most of us in management have always thought of it that way, strengths and weaknesses. I'd like to challenge everyone to maybe put more of an emphasis on the strengths and a little bit less on the weaknesses. Not to say that you're never going to address or define or work to improve weaknesses on your team, but I think there is something to be said for embracing strengths and defining a culture of strengths.
Mm-hmm. So put more emphasis on strengths and not the weaknesses. I'm reiterating that because I think it's so natural for anyone to evaluate any type of work they're doing and say, well, the things that I do good probably come natural to me, so where can I improve? And a lot of time is always spent in that bucket. But what you're saying is don't ignore the weaknesses per se, but look at your strengths and, you know, double down or whatever that percentage is. But those are already your strengths. Those are already things that you naturally do good, that you naturally excel at. Keep doing those things, right? Don't necessarily turn away just because you're good at them.
And I would go even a step further. So there's a lot of things that all of us are good at, but do we really enjoy it?
That's a good point.
So something that our company has begun is a shift in our culture towards strength-based. And recently, we partnered with an outside company, the Kelly Merbler Company. And Kelly Merbler is a Clifton StrengthsFinder coach. And Clifton had the philosophy of what we're talking about right now, which is not only defining what people's strengths are, but where does their passion lay? Because if you can come to the intersection of strength and passion and be able to lead your organization through that lens, it's incredibly powerful. Again, it doesn't mean that we pretend none of us have weaknesses, because we certainly all do. Mm-hmm. It's really more of the 80-20 rule, though. 80% of the time goes to that intersection of strengths and passion, which is where you see the fuel and the fire and the excitement in people's eyes when you're challenging them with work from that perspective. And 20% goes towards embracing and trying to improve on the weaknesses. But there's something to be said for not hitting your head on a brick wall over and over and over again. You as the individual or you as the manager, when you're trying to get somebody to do something that inherently does not come natural to them, mm-hmm. and or that they don't like, that is really tough. And I encourage anyone who can break through that with someone that they manage on their team or a colleague, I think it's amazing, but it's pretty rare. So the 80-20 rule is something that we here at More Visibility want to start to embrace, and we're doing so by building a strengths-based culture across our company.
So 80-20 rule, that's fantastic to keep in mind. 80% strengths, to your point, very important element in there is find your passion. I think that's very, very important, because a lot of people may do things on a daily basis on your team that they're very good at, but do they have that passion there? So you're saying if you can find both, you're really going to be cooking with someone who's probably highly motivated, going above and beyond, and doing really, really great work, because not only are they good at it, but they're passionate about it. From your experience, Danielle, is there a way to maybe help someone find their passion? Do you feel like there may be people who have really good strengths, but don't necessarily have an area that they feel like they're super passionate about? Do people need to kind of try different things as they come in? Or, you know, what would you say to that?
Well, I think, you know, we have to be realistic, right? At the end of the day, we're all running a business. We have metrics and goals and KPIs to meet. But as individuals, I think we owe ourselves a little bit of responsibility to define what our passion is. But sometimes that's difficult. And particularly, I've noticed that's difficult in two cases. One, for someone new that's entering, you know, their career early on in their professional life, maybe right out of, you know, school. It's tough to understand what your passion is. And so in those cases, it may take a little bit of digging around and trying new things and realizing, you know, what you like and what you don't. But I also see this a lot with people who are going through burnout, mm-hmm. where they've been doing the same thing for a very long time, and they maybe need to redefine their passion or find a different passion to ignite their senses and to get them going in a new direction. So one of the things that we did here in our organization as a part of this building a strengths-based culture is everyone on the team took a Clifton assessment. And this helped to define our individual strengths, which also tied into not just our strengths, but the things that we were passionate about. So all of us here on the team at More Visibility, including myself, now front and center keep our top five strengths handy and also share with each other so that we can start to really identify how to allocate tasks or projects effectively.
Yeah. And being someone who was involved in that Clifton Strengths assessment, and you mentioned Kelly, who came in, who did a fantastic job doing our workshop with the entire team, that was really an eye-opener for me. And I can say, if anyone, you know, hasn't done it, it is very specific to you. It is very tailored to the answers that you give, and it gives you back some great information. Danielle, what I'm curious about is any other leaders, executives listening who are in more of your position, how did seeing those results and going through that exercise and maybe seeing, you know, an organization of our size, seeing everybody's strengths and or maybe their 20%, right, kind of rise to the top? When you mentioned we have all our five top things that we keep, you know, on our backgrounds when we're on calls, seeing everybody's strengths, did that change your perception in any way and kind of build your framework and your vision for how the culture is going to be moving forward after that assessment?
I think it's a commitment that the company has to make. And again, as I said, there's certain things, although culture is the team, there are certain things that the executive team has to support and embrace if you're going to do a culture shift, which this is from a positive perspective. Mm-hmm. So one of those things was to really buy into the concept of trying to give people tasks and work and responsibilities that they were good at and passionate for. And that's this whole philosophy of a strengths finder culture. And so it was very interesting to look around and to see in the office and on video calls what each individual's top five strengths are. Many of these things were not a surprise, including some of them for myself. But what was a surprise is how two people on the team who appear very, very different from one another at face value actually had very similar top five strengths, mm-hmm. which at first pass would make you think, how could that be possible? This is not a personality test. And so there are different interpretations of people's strengths. So it is very possible that you could have an introvert on your team and an extrovert on your team. So maybe somebody from the web development group and somebody from your business development group,
right.
Salesperson and a developer, who from a personality perspective and in talking to them would appear very, very different, but actually their strengths, so what they're good at and what fuels them, could actually be very similar. And that's because they're coming at it from different perspectives. So I think that was one thing that really shocked people, especially people who know each other well, and they know they're very different in terms of their personalities and style, but their strengths backed into the same.
Yeah.
And that was something that has been fun for our team to dive into further, to understand how these strengths can work in different ways. They don't have to be identical for every person.
Yeah, definitely. It was also exciting to see, you know, we have certain team members that you work very closely with depending on your role here at More Visibility. It was also very interesting to see, you know, everybody else's top five strengths from, you know, a perspective like mine. And these are colleagues and team members I work with every day. And like you said, I aligned very closely with some people that maybe I wouldn't have guessed, but they approach it from a different way. Everybody has their own style. Danielle, like looking forward and talking about retention, because I think that's something that we are very proud of here at More Visibility. If you were to look at the data and how long people are at the agency, we're very proud of that and very proud of the culture that we have. You've been doing this, you know, longer in this industry than I have. I know a lot of people in this industry who have bounced around from, you know, agency to agency or even other industries. You see that very frequently. But this strengths versus weaknesses assessment, culture building, figuring out passions for your team, this should all go hand in hand with what I would assume would be building a strong culture that is able to retain your best team members for a long time, which I think anybody in any leadership position is always striving to do, right?
Absolutely. So thank you for the compliment. It's something that, you know, building a strengths-based team and a supportive, embracing culture is something that's been my top priority and passion for many, many years. And to me, there's no other way to approach team retention and recruitment, especially, and this started well before, you know, the pandemic and the shutdowns, which then led to the great resignations and changing in careers. Yeah. And what now is coming out is quiet quitting, which I can't stand that terminology.
I have not heard of that. And, what is that? And quiet quitting?
So
they just leave?
No. So this is probably a topic for a whole nother podcast, but quiet quitting started as a trend on TikTok.
Oh Lord.
And has now kind of been written about in the Wall Street Journal and in all top publications, and you can go on to LinkedIn, and there's all sorts of commentary now around that. But the essence of quiet quitting is basically people aren't quitting, but they're not doing one thing more than they need to or is expected of them. So it's almost a quote unquote slacker, if you will. But then there's a lot of people saying, well, no, that's just having a balance and not killing yourself for work. I'm not sure exactly where all of that, you know, the intersection of all of that lies. But I think it is a perfect segue into what we're talking about today. Because if you are an engaged leader who's focused on their culture, which ultimately means they're putting their team first, because that's how I look at it, is that I work for my team. That's my customer or my client. As a manager, as an executive, my customer are, you know, customers are the people that work for me. And so if they are not happy, then I need to do some fact finding and maybe soul searching to figure out what has to change that feeling. And I think for those of you that are aware of the quiet quitting trend, and I'm sure Chuck will go off and now, you know, research this. but for those of you that are aware of that, you know, nomenclature and kind of trend that's being talked about now, I think if you're focused as a leader on the right things, which is your team and embracing them and supporting them and your culture so that it's all working in unison together with a common goal of you as the leader and your team members as individuals, I don't think you have these problems Or if you do, then you're tackling them, you're identifying and then tackling them very quickly.
Yeah, that is great information. Now I have to research quiet quitting. Maybe that's a future podcast episode. It seems like if you're in that situation, maybe you should evaluate, you know, what you're doing and where you're working. It seems like you're not that happy.
I think it's a trendy name,
yeah,
and hashtag for a disengaged,
right,
employee.
Right.
And
right.
And that's sad. And I think that's what we, you know, the quote unquote great resignation, you know, over the past probably year or so, I think that's what was happening. You know, it was a point where people realized, I'm not happy, nothing's changing, and so therefore I'm going to change,
yeah,
or make a change. And again, I just think these are disengaged employees are a result of ultimately disengaged leaders. So you have to look inward as a leader when you have these things happening, which I do all the time personally, and always have opportunity to improve for myself, which is something that I strive to continue to do on a daily basis. So I think for any manager who isn't putting their team and the culture as their first priority is potentially putting themselves in harm's way as far as not knowing at any given time what could happen amongst their team or with their team.
Although I haven't heard of quiet quitting before today, we have had a lot of conversation, and it's been a very hot buzz topic of like the balance of work life, you know, and I would say I would encourage everyone to try and, like you said, find where your passion is and dig deeper, you know, at the company or with the team that you're currently at. Like you said, you have to have a little bit of a self-initiative as well to want to find that passion, to want to do better. And then I think the other great important note that you gave when you started off, you said, you know, culture really starts at the top. And then you mentioned how you have a passion for building culture and finding other people's passions. That's so important as well, because if it starts at the top, then you as the leader, you as the executive, you should have a passion for figuring out what motivates your team, right? And how to move them forward and how to make them better. So these are all great tips. I know as a organization, we're going to have part two coming up with Kelly soon that we're all excited for, because it was very, very helpful the first time she came in. Danielle, would you recommend, you know, company leaders, executives look into some type of strengths training or workshop like we did? Are there other ways to go about starting this process if people are hearing this podcast and saying, you know what, I totally get it, but I need kind of a starting point. I want to know how to find out my team's full strengths and go from there. What was that first step that you took before Kelly came in and did the workshop with us?
Yeah, so Kelly Merbler is great, and happy to make introductions there for anybody who's interested. And listen, there are a lot of leadership programs out there. There are a lot of leadership trainings. There are a lot of leadership motivational speakers, of which I don't profess to be any of. I have just, you know, to your point, Chuck, I've been doing this for a long time, so I probably have learned a lot about what doesn't work through the school of hard knocks, which sometimes is a great school to learn from, although painful. But I read a lot in this area. I try to have an open mind. I think our team, yourself included, helps to open my mind to certain things. And as a result of just reading, learning, and trying to educate myself, I came across the Kelly Merbler company. And then from there, the philosophy of a strengths-based organization and what it can do for your company. And I think it was really perfect timing, because of the fact that we've gone to a distributed workforce, meaning we don't all work in the office 24/7 anymore.
Right.
And as a result of that, have some disconnect amongst the team naturally. And as expected, when you have people joining your company and there's no central location that everybody is there for them to meet and interact and get to know one another around. So I actually took the strengths assessment from Clifton first for myself and went through the process as an individual, and it was really enlightening and felt like if I had things to learn from that process, and that was without a coach like Kelly Merbler, you know, holding my hand through it, but just going through the assessment and reading all of the materials based upon the outcome and my results, if I could learn from that, then I knew other people could too, and most importantly, our team. So yes, we are continuing down this path. It's an investment. It's an investment not only financially, but it's an investment by the company and by leadership and by the individual team members that they are going to embrace this and that it's not a one and done. We had a seminar. Oh, that was cool. And you walk away and forget about it. This is, oh, that was cool. We had a coaching session. We're going to have a follow-up coaching session. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep this front and center with everything we do as a company, as an organization, as individuals, as departments, and we're going to continue to embrace it and continue to see how we can grow from it. That's really the bigger investment, I think, than the financial piece,
right,
is just the piece that you've all bought into. This is who we now are, and this is how we now are going to operate. And it's been very positive so far. We still have a lot of work to do, I'm sure, to get better and to maximize the opportunities that are available. But it was so refreshing to see people's faces when we laid out our master plan of the strengths-based culture for more visibility. When we really started helping them to understand, we want to focus on what you're good at and what you love and not keep talking about over and over again where you need to improve, where you need to do better, where you're falling short. When you and I both know that because we've been discussing it ad nauseum since you started.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating for people, and it's upsetting for people, and it's very defeating for people. And so I think that really gave a big sigh of relief across the organization that we were going to look at what they were good at and what they liked doing and try to work around that much more than we were going to try to point out where their shortcomings were.
Just that term, that phrase alone, pun intended, I guess, is so strong, but strength-based culture, to say that, you know, my team, my organization, or the agency company that I'm joining has a strength-based culture, that should excite anybody, you know, and to your point, focusing on that, the long-term effects and the process and things that we're doing here at More Visibility is really beneficial to your team.
Absolutely. And I one of the key takeaways from today's conversation that I'm hoping those listening will get is in this remote workforce, which we all are now a part of to 100% or to some extent, this type of philosophy really helps from a collaboration standpoint. Mm. So if I'm talking to you and I don't see you a lot, I don't work with you a lot, I just got put on a project with you, maybe I'm new to the team, but in my video conversation with you, I see your top five strengths front and center as your background, and you see mine. We now can start to understand one another without even knowing each other.
Great point. Yep.
And that's where the magic happens.
Yeah.
From a collaborative standpoint, without even leadership having to be involved, because leadership can't be there all the time for every situation or everyone. So when you can empower your team to start really understanding one another and then to take action based on this philosophy with how they work with each other, with how they assign out projects on a particular task, that I think is where the success starts to come into play without you even knowing it.
Yeah. Great point. Great tips, Danielle. We always appreciate you stopping by the podcast and sharing your perspective from an executive leadership position. Once again, we're excited to be streaming the podcast on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media at More Visibility, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And of course, if you're in the South Florida area, as Danielle mentioned, to open the podcast Tuesday, October 11th, we will be at the Beach House in Pompano. Some great tips from our Google experts, especially if you're looking for more information on GA4. Danielle, thanks so much for stopping by today for episode 45.
Awesome. Thanks, Chuck.